If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Muted Elcor enthusiasm. Now, how about the Elcor getting their own spin-off Mass Effect game? That's
Hell
a game
yes.
I'm playing.
I would play that.
Did you guys read the story in 3 about the Elcor with like rockets on their backs and
no?
stuff like that?
I missed that.
Oh my god.
Yeah. You can help this Elcor on the Citadel, and he's like, we're going to war.
That's almost as good as Shakespeare in the Park, Elcor.
Yeah.
It is Podcast Unlocked, episode 68. Hi. August 22nd. Mm-mm. 2012 is our record and hopefully published date if all goes well today.
Pray to God.
I'm your host, Ryan McCaffrey, joined by my two now permanent co-hosts, now that one's back from Germany, yep. Mitchell Dyer.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. And hey. The one and only esteemed multimedia guru who's making all the strange video things yeah. possible.
Now with
Destin
100%
Legarian.
More tripod.
Yeah,
more like 200%.
Oh yeah,
two of them yeah. here. So, yeah, we're recording this part of the ongoing Destin experiment to multimediaify, YouTube-inate our show here.
YouTube-ination. Yep. Yeah. I don't like that word.
I don't know.
I take it back. Forget I ever said it.
Sounds good to me. I like it. Maybe a little clinical, but
sounds dirty.
So, why are we doing this on video again?
Just so we can offer a video forum of our existing podcast.
Yes, there was you did a very under-the-radar test version last week, which had a sweet intro that I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
I also
enjoyed
that.
We'll still have that intro. Mm-hmm. Did you watch it?
Yeah, not enough Far Cry 2.
Oh.
And check. There's the, getting
it's,
that
it's
out of the way.
It's literally become a thing since you started mentioning that I try to insert it into my daily...
Yeah.
So it's actually a routine.
For this one, for our YouTube audience, we're going to try and keep the B-roll to like one game at a time. So this week, yeah. I'm playing through Mass Effect 1 on the PC, and I have footage of that we'll be showing as we discuss the gaming news of the week.
Yeah, cool. And sorry for my face. I know this is radio. It's not meant to be video, and we're making it video, so, I'm sorry.
Destin, throughout this, can we just like periodically just like...
No, because I'm not editing that much.
I'm gonna blow kisses constantly. It's gonna be a surprise.
To who?
Maybe you'll see it. Maybe you won't.
Oh my goodness! I'm barely conscious this week,
dude.
Our baby was for different reasons. So I had a kid up that decided to cry for a lot of the night last night.
Oh, that's why I'm up too. I was just crying all night.
Yeah, it wasn't you.
What
different
a coincidence.
Kid. Different kid. This one's 1 year old.
Oh, probably for different reasons.
Yeah, she's been sleeping through the night great, but yeah, last night just decided no. And it wasn't even like an annoying constant cry. It was like a meh, and then it would go away for about a minute. So we're like, okay, I'm going
she
back to
like
sleep.
She was like a stray cat.
And then meh.
It's just like outside the door.
Maybe we should have put her out there. I don't know. Maybe that would have solved the problem. Just let her
good.
hang with the neighborhood strays. But yeah, and then you, Mitch, Mister, I'm going to work from home on Monday because I'm recuperating from my Gamescom trip. Yeah, I get an instant message from you at 4 p.m. saying, admitting I just woke up.
Wasn't even going to try and bullshit you. Wasn't going to be like, oh,
I appreciate
I'm so
that.
Busy.
No, like, nah. I'm just I haven't even had time to check my email or log on to AIM because, man, it's just so much to get to now.
Yeah, no. Just
unconscious.
Oh, yeah. Jet lag knocked me out.
It is a tough trip. I remember, you know, the one time I've been over to Germany, just forever ago now, but I remember going out being worse than coming back, but who knows?
Well, I did sleep in and miss my first GDC appointment.
That you shouldn't admit. That's not a thing you should tell anyone
ever. It was fine, because it was just like a free-to-play thing that was... It's fine.
Yeah, let's belittle the game until you're
busted.
You screwed up royally.
It was a session
that just pissed everybody off.
Mitch is just digging his own hole deeper. Like shoveling. So I didn't come into work. So this game called Gamify... Didn't catch that demo because it was horrible.
Wait till Ryan finds out I didn't actually go to Germany.
Yes. I was at a rave in Ottawa the whole time.
We didn't make it past Amsterdam.
Yeah, exactly. There was a layover and we thought we were... Oh, and I've kicked... Look at that.
What have you done? Should that be unplugged?
No. It's just my headphones, though, so we're still on the air. Yay.
I was like, did you just like delete everything?
I should have never stood up and tried to, you know. See, now I'm trying to play to a video audience. This is going horribly wrong so far.
I'm now making a point to blow kisses when interesting things are happening.
They're
over
not going to see any of this. I'm just going to put Mass Effect B-roll over everything.
I love that you're putting like PC footage of a 5-year-old game over the.
It happens to be what I'm playing right now.
Okay.
So there.
No, that's fine. That'll be
you just got served.
That footage will be relevant very soon.
That's true.
Why?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you'll find out. Oh wait, you were there.
You already know.
Yeah.
No, there. I don't.
No.
You do on, deep inside your soul.
Mass Effect
search.
HD?
No. Oh my god. That's
so,
the PC version.
No, Mitch, tell me how was Germany? Did you obviously never been? Did you do any sightseeing? Did you do what I told you to do, which is go to the top of the dome and hang out?
So the dome, amazing. For those who don't know, is a cathedral that is 1,500 feet tall. When you walk out of the
That's about when it was built, around 1500,
yeah,
I think,
it's old.
If not older than that.
I mean, when you walk out of the train station and see this thing, it's cartoonishly big. It's like, that's not real. Come on.
Because there are no other real tall buildings in the city.
Yeah, and this is like smack dab in the middle. It's
right
like
on the river.
There's nothing around it. There's like a giant square surrounding it where people are just like flocking and stuff.
Were the sidewalk artists there doing chalk stuff?
There was one.
One. Okay.
And it was like this haunting painting of a little girl's head. It was the strangest thing.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So you can climb this church, not like on the outside, although there was an amazing image on Reddit of a guy dressed as Connor from Assassin's Creed climbing the side of that church. Brilliant. So you can climb up the belfry by just taking the stairs, and by the time you get to the top, you want to kill yourself. So fortunately, they've fenced it off, so you can't do that. But man, that view.
Good thinking on their
that
part.
That view. You climb 1,500 feet, you climb like thousands of stairs to go up there, and you're like, ugh!
Well, and you're going straight up, too, because it's a spiral staircase that's about 2 feet wide, because humans were tiny back then.
I mean, you can barely fit two people side by side, which is awful, because it's two-way traffic the whole way up. And then down again.
But I will say, I didn't see nearly enough pictures from you.
I have them.
You Instagrammed a couple.
Yeah, I finally got to, like, social media.
No pictures of your food.
But, oh, my God. You should see the picture of this cake that I got, Destin. No, I took pictures. Just I haven't got around to posting them anywhere yet. It's, you know, I didn't have internet there basically the entire time on my phone. Because data roaming was, like, $20 per megabyte. It was silly. But, yeah, that was
my
sightseeing.
You think Comcast is bad.
For real. Yeah, I didn't do much sightseeing because, I mean, I saw what I could in the area where I was in Cologne. And, like, I wandered around the church. And
is there a big market, too, down right there? Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
So that whole area is basically like a shopping center.
Yes.
And then if you just keep going, it's just restaurants, 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 restaurants.
Did you have an awesome time?
Oh, my God.
Was it great?
So good. Yeah. I mean, Gamescom was awesome. GDC Europe was a lot of fun. Like, I really love going to developer sessions and listening to those guys talk. We posted a couple things. Specifically the stuff I did a postmortem on GoldenEye. I went to that panel.
Like the N64 GoldenEye?
Yeah, so they talked about how that game basically just, it didn't have multiplayer for 2 years.
Well, they held off on the postmortem for that game for
way
too
long. Time. So it was like 2 years in development, and they were like, what if we had multiplayer? And what if we didn't tell Rare or Nintendo that we were going to make it? And they just did it, and when it was done, they were like, here it is! By the way,
we made sometimes that's how you gotta do that stuff.
Yeah. Mm. And then Alex Hutchinson had like the closing keynote talking about Assassin's Creed and how they keep the momentum going for that franchise. and he detailed like a ton of stuff that did not make it into Assassin's Creed 3. Like, they were going to use Philadelphia as a setting at one point.
Oh, that would be amazing.
You would think so, but apparently it was built on a grid. Like, it'd be the only city in Assassin's Creed built on a grid. Plus, the buildings aren't very tall.
Boring.
Yeah, they were like, this is boring. Screw this, and they scrapped it.
Yeah, that happens with game design sometimes, too, where life gets in the way.
That's why GDC is awesome, because we get to learn about all that kind of stuff.
Well, we're going to learn a bit about XCOM, Enemy Unknown, today. That's the real-time strategy game. I know it can be weirdly confusing, because we have... Most of the headlines have been
going... Especially because it's turn-based.
Yeah, most of the headlines...
What?
...have been going to the first-person shooter that's just eternally in development.
The game can't possibly exist anymore, right?
It does.
That's
I'm assured...
Like, that's a next-gen thing.
Which one?
Now.
I am assured that XCOM. It exists.
I was thinking about awards that we could offer games, and I think most years at E3...
That's a really good one.
And XCOM should get that one.
Metal Gear Rising is another one.
Yeah.
That'd be a close contender.
It's true. So anyway, the lead designer on XCOM Enemy Unknown, a very cool guy by the name of Jake Solomon from Firaxis. Hmm. Xbox fans know Firaxis from Civilization Revolution, which is a fantastic strategy game Xbox. And of course, if you're a multi-platform gamer, you know Firaxis as just strategy game legends in our possibly the single greatest strategy developer that we have.
Civ. Oh my goodness.
So yeah, they're doing XCOM Enemy Unknown and a turn-based strategy game more akin to the original. And yeah, I already recorded the interview with Jake, and he says a lot of really, really, really neat stuff, and very super candid guy, honest and very passionate about his project. So stay tuned for that interview. I think it's a good one. And before we move on, I did want to go around the table here, even though this isn't directly Xbox news, and say just pour out a 40 for Nintendo Power Magazine, which announced it would be closing its doors. That was announced this week. 1988 was the first issue. I remember I got it. I had a subscription from moment one. I still remember that light blue Super Mario Brothers 2 cover that they staged in clay. Is it somewhere?
No.
Or you're just pointing
at
you're pointing at cameras.
Don't worry about it. There's text. Sorry. I'm ruining everything. I'm breaking the walls.
Yeah, what are you doing?
There's text. I'm sorry.
Shut up, Mitch.
I'm like, that looks broken. Carry on. I'm just focus.
So, Nintendo Power, did you guys get it as kids?
Yeah. I mean, I contributed to the Audrey's kind of homage piece that we had go up on IGN saying, IGN remembers Nintendo Power. And Audrey sent out this email saying, hey, if you guys have like thoughts about Nintendo Power shutting down or you have like memories or whatever, just email them to me. I'm building a story to kind of commemorate them.
Yeah.
A story is gigantic.
Well, everybody contributed.
Everybody.
I sure did.
Yeah.
Because I had the unique privilege of, I worked in the building with those guys in the later years after Nintendo stopped doing the magazine themselves and my former company, Future Publishing, took it on. And so they were in the building with me. And I knew all those guys, and those guys bled Nintendo. Absolutely, they absolutely carried on the Nintendo Power name with all the passion that they possibly could have. And so I wish them the best. And it is it's unfortunate that Nintendo and online don't seem to go together in any way, shape, or form. So the magazine has run its course. And
is OXM still going?
OXM's still rolling. Yeah, absolutely.
Is this foreshadowing for them?
I don't know. I'm not privy to their secrets
then
anymore.
Xbox for life. No, I'm just kidding. It's a joke. A bad one.
No,
I'm going to really miss Nintendo Power.
Yeah, I think we all are. And that's got to be one of the longer magazine runs.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
ever. I mean,
1988 was the year I was born.
What?
Yeah. That meant the magazine's been alive.
As long
as I have. I actually haven't read an issue in a really long time.
I had a subscription until they got rid of posters. They got rid of
that
posters.
That was the deal breaker. Like, no more, said Destin.
I have like Metroid posters framed and stuff from that magazine. And
do you remember
cut
the Metroid comic they had going every month in the, 1996?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's sad.
Rest in peace, Nintendo Power. You are a great asset to the Nintendo community, and you shall be missed. So, on that note, we will take a short musical interlude and come right back and do the news.
I'm going to dance the whole time.
All right. Good.
IGN's Xbox 360 podcast, a podcast on Lock, presents the News on Lock.
All right, we are back to do the news. Mitch, you look comfortable over there.
Doing all right.
You know what my least favorite part of being on video now is, besides my faith?
Ooh.
Well, and the awkward HR moments.
Awkward?
The audience now knows that I'm not just doing, we're not just doing this off the top of our heads.
Yeah.
They can see the cheat sheets.
They could have just thought you were reading notes or something.
What they don't know is that every line of this is scripted. You spelled scripted wrong.
Never mind. Let's get that on video.
It's a dumb joke. Never mind.
Okay. Mitch Dyer, everyone. At Mitchie D.
People who get that will appreciate that joke.
So what is happening in this week in Xbox News? This was unexpected, guys. Kinect dropping its price permanently, like a real actual price drop, to $110, $109.99.
Oh, sweet. Now I still don't have enough room to own one.
You say, now I still don't have an interest.
Well, pick which one. I would buy it for Dance Central.
I was just going to say, if you are looking forward to Dance Central 3, which you should be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is the single best reason to own the thing by a
so
mile.
Good.
Yeah.
That and, I would say, The Gunstringer.
Still
the other game you should get.
Game.
Oh, you should.
I would like to. Maybe I'll grab it from our library.
Yeah, it's good times. But yeah, $110 for Kinect, which says to me two things. One, next gen is definitely coming.
See, you wrote that here. I don't understand that connection.
Ryan and Mitch, where's the top 10 Kinect games you need to own?
The list stops at 4.
Yeah, Dance Central's 1, 2, and 3, and Gunstringer. You got it. That's for you. So break it down for me. What's the connection between this price drop and next gen coming?
So because they want to move as many units as they can. Because the thing, it's been selling fine. It's been doing
very
just fine.
Well,
so
like exceptionally well.
So I just think they want to move as many units as they can before next gen rolls around next holiday, and they're going to have a whole new Kinect.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, my other theory is an Andor theory, and or they've just lowered their production cost on it and have decided to pass the savings along to...
What would cause that? I mean, they would have to change the hardware itself, right?
It's going to come mandatory bundle with the next console. You're not going to be able to get
absolutely.
Away from it.
Oh, yeah.
So they're trying to sell off their stock. That's what stock
that's,
of,
that's a great...
Or inventory, sorry.
Yeah, you're probably right about mm-hmm. that, actually. I hadn't even thought of that. God, you're smart.
Destin is so good at this.
I'm the greatest.
He is. He is, ladies and gentlemen.
Meanwhile, I'm the guy who goes, I don't understand what you're talking about, guys.
What? Huh?
What does that mean?
Things cost money. They don't. Huh? They're not just free.
Waste production.
So yes, if you are in the market for a Kinect, $110. You know, it's $40 less than it was.
Get it now.
Of course, this.
That's one copy of the Gunstringer.
This doesn't apply to the PC version of Kinect, which is still what is it, $250 or $200 or something?
Wait, it's a separate model.
Oh yeah,
I've never even seen it.
Kinect for PC is actually more money.
Wow, I thought it was the same device. I thought you just USB plugged it in.
Yeah, it's
nope.
They know what they're doing over there at Microsoft with the Windows gaming.
Yeah, do they?
That was a joke.
Games for Windows Live. The best thing ever invented, right, Internet?
No. All right. Grand Theft Auto V, it seems like a one big tease mm-hmm. at this stage because every earnings call... Our news editor, this game makes our news editor, Andrew Goldfarb, it actually...
Happy?
No, it makes blood vessels explode in his head, and
understandably.
I'm worried that he's going to have an aneurysm, actually, at some point, because every time a 2K or Take-Two investor call comes up, the earnings calls once a quarter, he's on there, he's ready, he's like, okay, they've got to mention Grand Theft Auto V this time, because you know they have to forecast for their shareholders, and they're going to mention I'm going to be ready, I'm going to have the story up, it's going to be great, and then nothing, just zero.
The next Grand Theft Auto will be out someday.
Eventually.
But this week, Mitch, what have they been doing to tickle our balls?
And we've seen actual images. Oh my God, pictures
six
of Grand
of
Theft
them.
Auto. Yep. It seems like they're rolling them out daily, too.
Well, not quite daily,
was
but...
Was it not yesterday?
Was it not? I don't even know. I can't keep track of days anymore.
I think it's every other day.
So which makes sense.
There was one Monday and one Wednesday.
Yeah, so it makes
sense.
And
then Friday trailer.
Three more screens.
Three more on Friday.
They promised it already?
No. There are three blank slots on the website where images would go.
Which they did that last time, and those three got filled in today.
Yeah.
So the running theme with all of these is just like cool, crazy shit you can do in Grand Theft Auto.
The,
like,
the great outdoors, really. Yeah,
go play tennis, go ride a bike, go drive dirt bikes, go fly a fighter jet. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there was
parachutes, parachutes, dirt bikes, pedal bikes. You know, it's kind of cool to see all the stuff that you're going to be able to do. The cheetah was in one of
them,
I believe.
The super sports cars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was one of my favorite cars. And the screenshots look phenomenal.
That game looks like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's got me questioning now. Mitch, I know you disagree, but it's got me questioning whether or not we're going to see a next-gen version. I'm not saying it will move to 720 and PS4, but because I think it will definitely come out on current-gen systems because the installed bases are so huge.
Right.
But I do wonder if... You know, they haven't specified any platforms for this game.
The screenshots we're seeing are probably from PC build. I mean,
probably,
yeah,
but
for sure,
yeah.
But
it's not like an Xbox exclusive.
It does
anymore.
Just make me wonder. Like, are they just going to kind of let this hang out there and keep teasing with screenshots, and then
next
come next year,
title.
Go, okay, it's coming this holiday for, you know, next gen consoles and current gen consoles? Because you'd got to know Microsoft and Sony, either or both of them. Would absolutely just back up the Brinks truck in order to secure, even if it's just a port up, like even if it's just a file save as in high, you know, in 1080p or at a higher frame rate or just with a few extra little bells and whistles, they would either manufacturer, Sony or Microsoft, would kill to have that as a launch window title for these systems.
Grand Theft Auto 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I nuts here?
Yeah, because I am certain. Based on absolutely nothing, that game's coming out in March.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it's possible, absolutely.
With the Xbox 720.
No. No.
Destin, where do you stand on this?
Do I think it's going to be a launch title?
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's going to be this gen.
I think so.
Yeah.
So are you hopping on the popular Rockstar May 2013 bandwagon? When do you think we're going to see
launch
it?
Date?
Yeah.
I mean, both GTA 4 and Red Dead were... Spring and summer games.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep attacking my microphone with my chin.
Yeah. That's a tough call. I honestly can't like make a good prediction for this one. It just seems like they're kind of teasing us bit by bit.
It does.
Sure. And when did they start? When was that first trailer?
Last December.
Last year,
or no, excuse
December.
Me, I believe it might have even been November.
Yeah.
Because I think, wasn't it right before...
So
that trailer hit right before Saints Row the Third came out,
yeah.
I think.
And it was right after I started working with IGN, which was October.
So
yeah, I think it was November.
Okay, so January and February is the new hotness, so I'm going to say around there.
Think so, huh?
Yeah. I think it's just going to go nuclear and make everything else scatter.
They got nothing for competition in that
crisis.
Early window.
Far Cry.
So,
yeah, Far Cry.
Yeah.
Well, Bioshock's in February, which is their own publisher's game.
Yeah.
Then there's Crysis, there's Dead Space, there's Army of Two.
But those are competitors.
What do you got, in January?
Oh, yeah.
What do you got in January? Mass Effect did a January launch.
They did? You're right?
Yeah.
Darksiders was a January game, like, way back when. So was Bayonetta. So was Lost Planet.
No, I mean coming up this following year,
like
nothing,
traditionally,
right?
I wonder if anybody has anything.
Yeah.
I don't think they do.
Metal Gear is February, but Rockstar wouldn't care about that game anyway.
If it's not Christmas, I say the January, February, really matter. Like end of January, beginning of February window.
March, April.
Think so?
You're probably right. I just want to take a different stance.
And, I accept that.
Mm-hmm.
I think May is going to happen too, because that's where all the signs are pointing. You know,
why May?
Well, they seem to like that window because they own it. You know, they've owned it with Max Payne, with L.A. Noire, with GTA 4, even though GTA 4 was actually like April 30th or something, but they virtually owned May after that. It seems to be, it's like a late spring window that seems to be working pretty well for them, but I don't know. I mean, it still wouldn't surprise me if they just decided... Because you know that the publisher, 2K, is not dictating anything to them. Mm-hmm. So they're not saying, you need to get this out. It's Rockstar. 2K calls politely, and they're like, boop, boop, boop. Excuse me, Mr. Hauser, can you tell me when maybe that Grand Theft Auto 5 will be out?
Nope, click. That's how that conversation goes.
Bite me. Click.
He doesn't put up with anything, that dude.
You guys also both neglected your Scottish accent for Dan Houser.
If it's not Grand Theft Auto 5, it's crap. There, are you happy, Mitch?
I am.
Is that better for you?
That's perfect. His first impression this podcast, I think.
That's true.
People aren't drunk already by this point.
By the way, Yair, one of our super passionate
fans.
Super fan listeners, actually made a wiki for the Podcast Unlocked, including the drinking game.
Oh, nice.
So there's a cast entry for the burrito too.
There is. There is. So just who by the way has not made an appearance lately.
Yeah. And now cannot with these cameras until it returns for reals.
That's true. He needs to exist. Where's Nick Vargas to actually have a half-eaten burrito in here that we can draw faces on with a Sharpie? Mitch has got the Sharpie.
We can just do like the witness protection program for the burrito or something like that.
Burrito? What burrito?
Yeah.
But yeah, I honestly, guys, you know, I'm getting more and more hype for Halo 4, but for me right now, the Grand Theft Auto 5 is the game I'm absolutely most excited for.
Mm-hmm. I always, every time a Grand Theft Auto game comes out, I'm like, man, I don't care. I don't really like Grand Theft Auto. And then it comes out and I lose my shit. And then I get exhausted and I realize like why I don't like these games anymore. And then I burn out and I'm just done with it again. And I get back in the cycle.
I saw that trailer though.
You're a hater,
Mitch.
And I was
like, but after Red Dead, oh my God. Like that's one of my favorite games ever. And it just kind of reaffirmed like, okay, these guys get what makes open world interesting, and this they get what makes characters interesting, and their cinematics are kind of like big and grandiose and kind of full of themselves, but it's still really awesome, and I kind of can't wait to see the direction to take with GTA 5.
I remember when that launch trailer came out and like I watched it and they were doing a rewind theater right after it live, and I like run up there, kick down the door. I'm like, that sounds like Ray Liotta. He's got the same jacket. I'm totally wrong about everything I said, but I was so excited because I was like, Vice City is like my favorite. So yeah, I was wrong about everything.
You goofed.
It could just be a different voice actor.
You know, if they called Ray Liotta, I'm sure he's not busy.
Yeah, Ray's not busy.
No, they don't like Ray, I guess. So yeah, I guess there was a lot of controversy about him being on the Grand Theft Auto thing. Yeah. So yeah.
Ray's doing Uwe Boll movies. So it's not like
he was doing that 5 years ago.
It's not like he's choosy. All right, our third story this week. It's a game called State of Decay. Mitch, do you know anything about this one?
So I knew that this was a game called Class 3 at one point, and I'd been kind of
hassling
them. Oh, do you
know
that
based on your notes?
No, actually, I did know this, because I was talking to them, like, hey, when you want to talk about your game for real, let's talk. And then they started building up this announcement, and everyone was wondering, what is it going to be? Are we finally going to find out what Class 3 is? And they kind of revealed what the open-world zombie game they were working on was going to be like, and it looks awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of this.
So it's an Xbox Live arcade game. Completely, very, very ambitious.
Crazy town, yeah.
It's an open world that evolves based on what you do, which is nuts. And it seems like it's something of a cross between, well, it's got a very Alan Wakey look to it, maybe just because it seems like it might be set in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, that's where they're based out of Seattle, these guys. So we might just be using their backyards. But it's got a very Alan Wakey kind of look and vibe to it, but then it's got sort of the survival stuff of a Walking Dead show or something where you have to build defenses and prepare to defend yourself against the zombie hordes. But there is still action stuff too, where the trailer shows combat.
Is it third person, first person?
Yeah, third person game.
Okay.
It actually looks a lot like Alan Wake, especially in the nighttime segment where there's like they have a flashlight with a shotgun. It's like, I see what you're
doing. So it's kind of like Castle Defense in third person?
Like maybe that's one aspect with of more, it? Yeah, with more action.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I assume there are actual goals.
So, you know, if you want, I really encourage everybody to watch the trailer that's up on IGN.com I watched it and I went, if this has co-op in it, like 2-3, maybe 4-player multiplayer, it could be amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if there were like a lot of characters on screen at one time or if it was just cutting a whole lot, but it looked like there were a lot of people working together.
I hope so. Because they do have another game supposedly in development, but I will believe it when it actually releases because MMOs don't exist on Xbox and they always inevitably don't come out. But the same team has another project that's called Class 4, which is the same type of thing, but it's an MMO. So
that tactic worked really well for 38 studios.
Well, slightly different economies of scale here at work, Mitch. Yeah. But yes, you are certainly right on a fundamental level. But nevertheless, you know, if you watch the trailer, it's very interesting and no release date is given. They've been working on it for 2 years already. I got to figure a game this ambitious, this big, and it's first party, too. It's a Microsoft game. I'm thinking it's a lock for Summer of Arcade next year. Yeah. So I think this game's probably about a year away. And
that'll be the lead.
Yeah, it'll be like the headliner
the
game.
The last game they release.
For the last Summer of Arcade on Xbox 360. That is my prediction. You can mark it down now, and we'll come back in a year and see if... we'll just see how completely wrong I am.
Mark it in the wiki.
Yeah, exactly.
We got to start putting our like bold wagers and bets and
we should,
predictions
actually.
On the wiki.
Because wait, last week, you weren't here, Mitch. Last week, I bet Justin Davis a lunch.
I bet you a lunch.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Too.
I bet him lunch about... What did I say?
I don't remember.
I don't even remember what I
said.
There was a discussion of food, and I started thinking about food. And it's like, oh, I'm hungry.
Anyway, I bet Justin something last week, so...
We'll never know.
We'll never know unless we actually listen to our own show.
Justin wins, and he's like, oh, you bet me this crazy thing. Like, he would streak through the office. You lost. You better
Wait
do
it. Wait a second. Oh, okay.
I don't remember that, but if you say so, Justin...
Last story I want to touch on this week. I'm going to throw it right to you guys. Prey 2. Where do you guys stand on Prey 2?
Don't care anymore.
Don't care anymore, Mitch.
I want to care so much more
you
than I do.
You want to care so much more than you do.
They waited too long, and they've lost the hype for the game. And like, unless they release a big trailer, everybody's lukewarm on it, I feel. If you disagree with me, you know, let us know in the comments. But
I mean, it's
how I feel.
I think it's fine that we don't care anymore because the game probably doesn't exist.
Yeah, the news this week is Bethesda, you know, it's a benign story. It's a pretty innocent story on its surface, but where the story is, oh, okay, Bethesda Game Studios, or excuse me, just Bethesda, the publisher, redesigned the games section of their website where they list all their games. And what's not listed? Prey 2, not listed. This comes, of course, after, what was it, a few months ago, they said they finally gave an update on Prey 2 where there hadn't been one for a while and just said, Prey 2 is basically a pile of poop and we don't want to put it out in its current direction.
That's
in
what
the
they said on the press release?
It's in the press release, quoted Pete Hines.
Pile of poop.
The vice president of marketing there. Yeah, it's a steaming pile of poop.
What did he say, really? Like,
no, like, it's not meeting our
expectations. Exactly.
And we're gonna reevaluate it. But basically, if you read between the lines, it was, we've pulled Human Head, the developer, off of this project because we don't think they're getting the job done. Now, that's not confirmed. That's me reading between the lines.
I mean, there were rumors about exactly that before they made that announcement.
So now we're at the point where Prey 2 is not even listed on their website. I'm guessing. I'm not saying they lied before, but I wonder if before they thought, okay, well, we're going to pull Human Head off this, we'll try and sort it out, but maybe now they've just decided, you know, they tried and went, well, I don't think we can salvage this, and canned it, and now it's gone.
Easy with the Master Chief.
Yeah, I'm just fumbling.
Recording deleted.
Yeah, no!
Yeah, I mean, so Andrew, our news editor, made a pretty astute observation that, because he contacted Bethesda and said, hey, what's going on here? And they said something along the lines of, like, no,
we don't comment on speculation. Wait, that's our...
yeah. I mean, they were pretty cagey about, like, well, you know, we aren't posting games that are releasing in 2013. but it's like, but the Elder Scrolls Online is in there.
Yeah.
That game's not
what
out
about 2014?
Year. Yeah. So, I don't know, maybe it's... The Elder Scrolls is the first half of the year, and Prey 2 is the next half of the year. I mean, the easy conclusion to make here would be like, oh, Prey 2 is next gen, but like, we are not nearly as hopeful for that game as we are everything else we say that about.
That's true.
Kind of an unrelated note, I'm glad they updated their website.
Was it garbage? Are you a frequent visitor to Bethesda?
No, but like, when I go before, I just like, wow, this is kind of dated.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
if
you
I've
know, they had better
website.
Things to do, like
make video games,
make millions of dollars on Skyrim.
Did Dawnguard come out on PS3 yet?
No.
No? God,
good one,
on
Mitch.
Hell
there?
No.
That's funny.
What a disaster that whole situation is.
You see the Up at Noon skit where they're
that
like...
That was incredible.
It was all like 10 frames per second of the trailer, and then it would just loop back and forth for the dragon parts. Yeah.
YouTube.com/start.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Really great.
Up at Noon this week was awesome.
All right. That's all the big news stories I wanted to hit on because, well, number one, I'm lazy, and number two, I'm pressed for time.
It's a tired day.
I got a lot to do.
Trying to keep it to an hour.
Yeah. Well, an hour of this.
Yeah, plus
we've got
interview.
A 30-minute interview that we're going to plug in,
we're
too.
We're 40
so.
Minutes deep. We're fine.
That's already?
Yeah.
Jeez. All
right. Well, I mean, we're right at the end.
Well, we're getting there.
I'm going to crank through this next segment.
Mitch, take us through the Marketplace Report. what can we spend our hard-earned cash on?
So if you got $60 to burn, absolutely buy Transformers Fall of Cybertron. I've been covering this game a long time. Like, since I started at IGN, basically, it was like the first thing I did when I moved here was go to Vegas and see Transformers.
Mitch, you're on Transformers for a year.
Pretty much, yeah. So it's out now, and the game is awesome. I jumped into some multiplayer and some co-op yesterday.
Autobots, transform, and roll out your checking account.
Your Peter Cullen's not bad.
Thanks.
It's impressive. So yeah, that's out today. The campaign is really awesome. Our reviewer, Matt Cabral, really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Recommends it highly, gave it an 8.5. Lots
and lots
there.
Of other good scores across the media landscape as well, not just us.
Really? Great.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like they took out co-op, which you know we've talked about before, being mostly for the best, given that they can improve the campaign in multiple ways, just kind of by focusing on different characters and skills.
Did your review go up for it?
I didn't review it.
Oh, it's up.
It's up. Is it? Live.
Yo, damn right it's up.
8.5.
When did we get our review build of that game?
So
recently,
a long time ago,
yeah,
it was really close to launch, right?
Yeah,
that always makes me nervous.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's Activision policy. They generally
hold on to it as long as
hold
possible.
On to it as long as possible.
Yeah,
but it's out now. You can go buy it on Xbox 360, PS3, or if you're so inclined, PC.
You know, is there anybody that's more stoked about how Transformers have come back from the pop culture grave over the last 5 to 7 years than Peter Cullen?
No.
Like, what was he? I mean, he probably was doing just fine for himself. I'm sure he was, you know, either had a good stash of money in the bank or was doing other voice work. I don't know, but now, like, you know, he was huge. He had the huge role of Optimus Prime in the 80s.
Yeah,
and then it all went away. It was just gone.
I hate to say it, but like, thanks, Michael Bay, because this game exists.
You take that back
because of those garbage movies.
You do not praise Michael Bay on this podcast.
The movies are fun.
I like the first one. The second one was really bad.
The first,
the third one was okay.
The first and third one.
I hated the second one considerably less than I hated the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, the second one for me is abysmal.
I thought the first one was
the first one was fun.
Second one not as good. Yeah. Third
it's
one
like
was
going to see the Expendables. You know what you're going in there for. Don't expect like
see,
a
but
good
I did.
Script.
Like, when I see the Expendables, I'm like, yes, I get it. It's 15 macho dudes killing the shit out of things.
Yeah.
And with Transformers, I'm like, cool. It's a show or it's a movie based on a show about robots punching each other, and it's incomprehensible trash.
Funny story about the third movie, Dark of the Moon, right?
Incomprehensible trash.
I've seen about 80% of that movie because my wife went into labor during.
Wow.
We were seeing it in 3D at the movie theater. And
you were really rolling the dice that night.
Well, no, because literally the due date was coming up, and we were like, let's have one more day out together where we just do. So like, okay, we're going to go. We went to the beach with the dog, and we were going to like, okay, let's go to the movies because we're not going to be able to go to the movies again for a long time. Like,
right.
And she kind of gave me the pick. You know, she didn't really care about Transformers. We're like, let's go see Transformers. It'll be fun. And early on, she's just like, okay. but then literally by the time it got to the good part, which is the last like hour of the movie where just everything goes crazy with all the action, she's like, okay, we have to go. So
she and the baby cut a deal.
Mitch,
yeah.
What
so
if, what
I,
if
I like to joke that Michael Bay movies are so they're just so intense that they make babies come out of
they
you.
They induce labor.
They make children come out of your body.
What if she was just like thinking in her head, oh my God, I can't take this. I can't take this.
Fake
okay.
Labor.
Yeah, it's like, okay, gotta go as a baby.
How can I get out of this? Oh, there's a child inside me that wants to come out. I'll just, okay, let's go.
Yeah. Maybe if I just push a little bit, I'll go into labor. Oh, so, yes, thank God. I can leave the theater.
I that movie's got to be out on Blu-ray by now, right?
It's got out on. Come out?
Well, yeah, because it was a year ago, because the kid's a year old. So.
It's on Hulu or something, who knows.
Yeah, so I still want to see the end of that movie, but it will forever be associated for me with a very...
with your child's
birth. A very, very special occasion. Yeah, that was good times.
So I see your note here, Ryan. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure HD is on Live Arcade this week. For
what?
$20?
Wait, hold on. For what? What is this game?
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure HD.
Wait, HD implies it's a remake of something that I'm supposed to know what it is.
Right, yeah, exactly, right? So JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is an anime that is not nearly as popular here as it is in Japan. I don't actually know a whole lot about it, but it's wildly popular. The fighting game is, like, pretty... It's held pretty high as I understand it.
Huh.
$20 high, apparently.
Is this not, in all seriousness, I literally don't know what this is.
No, I totally understand. Most people don't.
Is the original, I mean, when is it from? Is it NES, Super NES? When is this game?
I can't see.
Where did it come from?
About that. I honestly don't know off the top of my head. It's like old and stuff. It's old enough to warrant an HD remake, even though I'm pretty sure.
$20?
Yeah, $20.
Is this the Minecraft effect?
Because
if it is, I'm just not, well, actually, regardless of whether it's Minecraft effect or not, this game will tank at $20.
It's absolutely dead.
It would tank at $15 with no disrespect intended.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what this is.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You're done at $20. Before you are done before you even get posted to Marketplace. Yeah. It's over for you.
I mean, even at $15, which I'm totally okay accepting it as the norm, some stuff like The Expendables 2, which is out this week on Live Arcade.
That we missed
last week. It was last week. That's $15, and I feel like it's still too high for something like that. It's a very dumb, very simple run and gun
The
shooter.
Game is, it's a top-down twin-stick shooter with celebrity impersonated voices, but it does have their likenesses, which I thought was kind of neat.
I mean, I watched you play a little bit, and it seemed fun.
Yeah,
but
it's
like,
cheese fun, just like the movie.
But it looks really shallow.
You know who can get away? It should be $10.
Yeah.
You know who can get away with a $15 price tag? Limbo.
Yes.
Sound Shapes, that's a PS3 exclusive.
Yes.
You know, those are great titles.
Deadlight,
JoJo's
Dust.
Bizarre Adventure HD, that's an HD remake. No.
$20.
$5
Destin.
More than two games the games we all just mentioned.
Yeah. I remember the first time... The first time I really remember considering, like, what is the value of $10 versus $15 is when Capcom was doing podcasts for every week. They were doing a podcast about Bionic Commando, and those guys were working on Bionic Commando.
Oh, man, that first one was awesome.
At Grin, and then they did Bionic Commando Rearmed at the same time, and they were asking people, like, how much would you pay for this? Because they weren't really sure whether 10 or 15 was the norm at the time. They couldn't figure it out. And, like, far and away, the voters, like thousands of voters, like, I would pay $15 for this. But they priced it at 10 anyway, because they were like, well, you know.
If they say 15, they really mean 10.
Maybe it's not that time yet, and they priced it at 10. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what's interesting? Yeah, because this is Capcom, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Capcom has been one of the more adventurous publishers when it comes to pricing things on arcade. They did two amazing Resident Evil 5 co-op DLC, like campaign DLC packs for $5 each, and they were really good and really.
Do you mean Dead Rising?
That was going to be the next one I was going to bring up.
I don't remember the Resident
the
Evil
Dead
stuff.
Rising Case Zero and Case West, $5 each, which was just a steal of a value.
I mean, it was right before Dead Rising 2 came out that Case Zero hit, and it was okay, here's the new character, here's his daughter. It sets up the story for Dead Rising 2.
It was a prologue.
Yeah. And it was
That was that little piece of DLC. Yeah, and I played that. That was great.
$5, like
it was
a
great
month before the game came out,
and it
ridiculous.
Sold huge.
Yeah, I got all the achievements in that. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, even if you weren't really into Dead Rising, which I actively disliked the first one, I didn't ever end up playing the second one, but I really enjoyed my time playing that game, even though it was troubled
Frank
in a lot
West.
Of the same ways. But it was just really cool to be able to be like, okay, this game's out in a month. Let's see what it's all about for $5. It's basically like a rental with achievements, a separate story, a setup for a game that you know ostensibly you would ideally care about.
Yeah. So given the Capcom track record on arcade we just talked about with their willingness to price fairly, I got to figure that the price of this must have just come down from some executive who doesn't normally make the decisions that just said that maybe it's like near and dear to his or her heart and just went, this will be $20. This is a $20 experience. And then and then all the underlings just went, fine, whatever. It's going to sell like four copies, but that's your call, boss.
I'm not buying it.
I mean, Marvel vs. Capcom Origins, which is Marvel Capcom 1
and 2.
Yep.
Is it 1 and 2? Or is it Marvel vs. Capcom and Marvel vs. Capcom? Are there four games?
Okay, so there's Marvel vs. Capcom, and then Marvel vs. Capcom, the Secret Gems or something like that?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, because it's not MVC 2.
That's what it is. Yeah. No, MVC
so
2 is a
two
separate release.
Two.
Yeah, and then there's MVC 3, then Ultimate MVC 3.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it's the first
Capcom in their name.
It's the first two before
Ultimate Capcom
MVC 2.
Yeah,
For $15, so two classic fighting games, classic, I guess, if you want to use that term loosely.
Dude, I like those games. That's how I learned how to play and kick your butts at MVC 3.
I've never played you in MVC 3.
I would totally win.
You would destroy.
What else can
you
we spend our money
play,
on,
Mark?
So alternatively, Counter Strike Global Offensive is $15 this week. That game is out now. A review, not so live.
You're working on it.
I'm working on it. I'm playing.
It's a multiplayer only game. What are you going to do?
I got a question about that. Can you play on the Xbox with a keyboard and mouse?
No.
Of course not.
You can
on the
PS3. Which I almost wonder if that's going to give the players on PS3 an unfair advantage.
Absolutely, it does. Absolutely.
So there's been studies done that you are more accurate with a keyboard and mouse than a controller.
Well, of course.
You don't need a study for that.
I mean, that's undebatable.
Because there was a study.
So study of my frag count. Sorry, sacks of crap.
I've been playing a bunch on PC, and then I played some PS3 today using a controller and the Move.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
It looked like you were holding a dildo, by the way.
Can you use the Kinect on Xbox?
You were waving a glowing wiener at your PS3 while aiming and shooting at things.
I really can't stand Move for shooters. I mean, I really enjoyed it.
I don't like Move. Period. No more of that sentence
that's
needed.
Totally fair. But man, that game is not good with Move. Because Counter-Strike is so much about precision.
Yeah.
And you have to have that locked center reticule. Yeah. If, as soon as you're like all over the place, you totally lose what makes that game what it is.
I'm so anti-motion controls.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me
Wii Sports did it right. Wii Sports did it right. Yeah. Maybe Red Steel 2, you know?
I mean, honestly, I haven't played it on 360 yet, but if you're going to play Counter-Strike and you can play it on PC, absolutely play it on PC.
Mm-hmm.
Just because keyboard and mouse is the way to go. It looks better. It has the mods. You can play all these different maps and modes and stuff just because it's on PC. But the Xbox version, we should have code for that today. I'm going to be checking that out, see how that functions with a controller. I know Counter-Strike was very big on Xbox Live.
Xbox One.
Yeah, on the original Xbox. So we'll see how it kind of holds up and functions with a controller. You can use a gamepad on PC, but like, why would you
do that? Yeah, that's just asking to be at the bottom of the kill list.
Yeah, I mean, I love that controller and I love the Xbox, but there's no way I will spend... I'll play this on 360 for the review to let people know how it is, but I will continue to play this game on PC. So the short version is it's very good. Counter-Strike Global Offensive is really good.
Mitch Dotter, everyone.
I mean, yeah.
And I'm going to keep playing it on PC after I'm done the review, because I'm really enjoying it.
What else is up?
Destin, why don't you handle that?
What else is
in the
marketplace?
There are playable demos of Sleeping Dogs and NHL 13. NHL 13 is the latest in the hockey genre, while Sleeping Dogs is an open-world adventure starring...
You can do it.
Many people.
You already forgot his name.
Many characters. I did the guide on that one. Wei Shen.
Yeah.
Starring Wei Shen as an undercover police officer who needs to infiltrate the Triads. I believe it's Triads. Sure. And
you,
also,
you
free
finish
co-op.
The game, man.
Dude, once I start a new game, just like brain shuts off and I forget all that data.
I do the same thing. I can't tell you anything about the last game I played.
I'm bad with names.
Out with the old, in with the new.
And then free co-op missions downloadable for Spec Ops The Line, which Mitch likes.
Uh-huh. That game's awesome. I haven't got to play the co-op stuff yet, but I don't know. I don't know about co-op for that game.
Well, what's done is done.
Free.
It's free. Yeah.
Don't
free,
use sure. it if
Shut
you don't
your
want
totally.
Mitch.
Yeah. But
jeez.
I mean, what makes that game
stop
special?
Giving me free stuff.
What makes that game special is the single player story, and honestly, maybe the co-op hits on that same kind of note. But I mean, without the substance of that story and those characters, I don't want to play more campaign.
I love that we just got done whining about a
$20
game and then like free. Screw that crap.
Yeah,
they should pay me $20 to take it. There's stupid co-op missions.
Whatever, man. Time is money.
All right. I hope you've got a little more time to listen to. How about that? That segue?
Yeah,
you like that?
I'll allow it.
You missed it last week, Mitch. We did
segues.
It was
for everything.
Segue-tastic last week. So anyway, yes, Jake Solomon, the lead designer on XCOM Enemy Unknown at Firaxis Games, got the interview with him coming up right after this little mini pause. Another week, another outstanding guest here on the IGN podcast Unlocked. It's Jake Solomon, lead designer at Firaxis Games on XCOM Enemy Unknown. Jake, welcome to the show.
Thrilled to be here. Don't oversell me, though. Outstanding is maybe reaching too far, but I'll try to live up to those lofty expectations.
Well, the game you're working on looks pretty outstanding. It's a game that people have been crying out for only about 20 years or so.
Yeah, we're very prompt in our responses.
So, what? Of course, XCOM. Some of our listeners may not even be old enough to know what XCOM is. It is an alien invasion strategy game, or at least it was.
Yes. It's people are being taken from around the world. It starts slowly, but it's a full scale worldwide invasion, and the player is the one responsible for stopping it. And so, of course, they take on the role of all the individual soldiers and the big boss back at the base. So it's sort of a very, very large scope game.
Now, Jake, strategy games, particularly, you know, we're talking about the Xbox version in particular with my audience here.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it's coming out on PC as well. But strategy games tend to make console gamers twitch involuntarily, something about them.
Make them nervous.
I don't know why that is, but how do you counter that? Because you certainly, you know, you can't turn a blind eye to it. You know it exists.
No, absolutely right. I mean, look, I'm a 360 gamer and a strategy gamer, so, you know, I know the feeling. And I think what it is that there aren't many of them because it's hard to do, and typically that's because it's real-time strategy. You know, if you try to make a real-time strategy game on a console, you know, you're going to have a hard time, as they say. I think that because XCOM is turn-based, it makes it really, really easy to play. And so, you know, you have complete control. You can take the time you want to control each one of your soldiers. You know, and turn-based has a pretty good legacy on consoles, you know, disguised in RPGs or JRPGs.
Right.
There are a lot of turn-based mechanics. But, strategy, you know, it hasn't found a big home on the 360. But that's not, I don't know, for me, probably because I'm an idiot, but I find that exciting. You know, I don't find that daunting so much as I do exciting. And I'm a huge 360 gamer, so, I mean, I definitely understand where people are coming from. But, you know, we've been playing on the 360 controller for years and years and years. We worked really, really hard to make sure that feels natural and smooth, and we're really proud of that.
Well, I'm surprised when you were listing a couple of examples and console strategy history, you didn't mention your own game, Civilization Revolution.
That was a dark time for me, Ryan, and I'd appreciate you not to bring that up. No, you're right. I didn't mention the game I worked on. So, right, Civilization Revolution.
Yeah, I'm curious what heading into XCOM, what lessons did you take, you know, both good and bad? What lessons did you take from doing an Xbox 360 version of Civilization?
Well, you know, Civ Rev, as we call it, Civ Rev, you know, I think that was an interesting game. It, you know, did really well, and it was great. What we set out to do with Civ Rev was to sort of take the Civilization experience, which is this very big, complex strategy game, and sort of present a sort of really short, tight Civ experience, you know, like a 3-hour game, 4-hour game. But with XCOM, you know, what we're set out to do is make a full-blown, you know, 20-plus-hour experience. And so there were some things we learned, you know, doing Civ Rev, just sort of, you know, just getting familiar with the ins and outs of the system, obviously, and hardware. Some gamepad stuff, some input stuff, but really the games are kind of different because XCOM's meant to be this, you know, it's tactical combat, it's, you know, got these RPG elements, so gameplay-wise, it's pretty different from Civ Rev, but, you know, at least system-wise, it was nice to get that experience.
Well, how about kind of on a similar note, so what, in your opinion, because, you know, you're dealing with an Xbox crowd that doesn't really know what XCOM is, except other than that it's a first-person shooter that doesn't seem to ever want to release. But you know...
I'm going to let that one go, man.
in all seriousness, what in your opinion makes XCOM XCOM?
Well, what makes it XCOM, and it's the same thing that makes it special, is the fact that it's a game with consequences. You know, if I'm going to sum it all up in a word, it's a game with real consequences. I think the most startling thing for people when they learn about the game is that you have these soldiers, right? And you play with them and you level them up and they have all these different class abilities and you can play with them for 10, 15, 20 hours, but they are all vulnerable. And if they die on the battlefield in XCOM, they're dead and they're not coming back.
Right.
And so that's one of those, I don't know. There are very few games that have consequences like that, and so that's one of the things that makes it special is that you really, really get invested in the game, and you have this very high tension when you're playing because these soldiers that you've been working on, you know, they are very vulnerable, and those types of consequences, which they make the game very tense, but they also really, when you succeed at the game, you know you've succeeded against real odds,
mm-hmm.
and that just, you know, it's this really unique experience for people, and that's That's what I love about the original, and I think that's what makes it matter still 20 years later. And it is. I mean, it's different. It's a very different experience as a single-player game. It's challenging. It's hard. It's got these really high stakes to it. But when we decided to remake it, you know, that was something where I said, like, we're not going to change that. That's sort of what makes XCOM important. And so we held on to it, and it's fun to see that we still get the same experiences playing XCOM Enemy Unknown as we did playing the original all those long years ago.
How do you walk the line, Jake, for PC gamers who want something that's true to the original and yet designed for current day market realities, which is my thinly veiled term for consoles?
Well, I mean, it helps that we're all console gamers, but, you know, we had our roots with the original game, and so, you know, we feel like we know what's important with that game, and we're certainly, I mean, it's, I wouldn't say that it's a religious icon around here, but, you know, if I had a god, it would be XCOM. But we don't want to change what made the original special. We're not afraid of challenge, and we're not trying to cater to some mythical gamer that we don't understand. We're trying to make a game that we think is fun and gripping and still true to the original, and our hope is that the magic in that game, I mean, the reason that people still talk about it 20 years later, and there are a lot of games from that era that most of the games from there, the vast majority, have disappeared.
Sure.
And nobody worries about them anymore, but XCOM's special, and you can't tinker with that. You can't be too arrogant to tinker with that and think, oh, I'm gonna go out and make a new classic. Instead, we want to focus on what made the original so special, and you know, we know that magic still exists, but at the same time, the industry's changed in the last 20 years. There are a lot of things that have changed. You know, adding a narrative to the game doesn't hurt the original game. It expands, you know, making sure that players are introduced at a fair pace to the game. You know, having, again, a really good tutorial. Nobody likes tutorials, but working in sort of like teaching the player as they play, making it fun, adding a narrative to it, and making sure, of course, that it works on the 360 controller thing.
So, like, is a game like this in some ways a no-win situation? Like, can you even win with the fans of the original, or do you just kind of go out and make the best game you can and not even worry about that stuff?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm not going to compare myself to Peter Jackson because I'm an idiot and he's a genius, but, you know, it's probably similar to, and not just games are like this, you know, books are like this, lots of entertainment media are like this. Mm-hmm. When you try to revive something or bring back something that is so beloved, can you please everyone who loved the original? I don't think so, but I do think that you still have to, you know, you have to acknowledge that the only reason I'm sitting here 20 years later making XCOM is because it matters so much to people. Because
sure.
I sort of view it as like my team and I, we have a pretty big ownership stake in the game, but fans of the original have as big, if not bigger, of a stake of ownership in the game because, you know, without them, this is not a project that would happen. So you still do worry about it. I mean, I think you do. I certainly worry about, you know how people are going to respond to it. But now that it's almost done, it's been nothing. You know, the reaction's been nothing but positive internally and externally with the focus testing we've done with original fans and with new fans to it. And so now it's sort of like an exciting moment where you think, well, I don't know, no win, or is it kind of like, I don't know, maybe you shoot the moon and you try to please everyone. I don't know.
Well, tell me, here's a pie in the sky one for you. Would you ever consider making a new XCOM strategy game in the original style, graphics and all? We've seen a little bit of that lately with the whole Kickstarter thing, and you know, even if it's like a Facebook game, does that thought ever cross the studio's mind? Like, hey, let's do this in, you know, the original style and just, you know, make it run and make a new game in the old style and make it run in modern day monitor resolutions.
I mean, I think that the only appeal there would be the fact that you could make something for different platforms like mobile or as you say, browser based or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, again, I totally respect guys doing that. But for me, I am like a very modern, I'm a very modern gamer. So I just think that when I was, so when I played the original, I mean, I think that your daydreams were about making the game. What if it looked even better? What if it was in 3D? What if you could get down, get up close and see your soldiers? What if you could, you know, see the aliens ripping your guys apart? I mean, so for me, my dream has always been to take this and make a modern version of it. And so, I don't know. I'm a big AAA gamer. And so for me, being able to do this to an original game is sort of the dream.
Well, speaking of AAA, there is another XCOM game, of course, as I jokingly mentioned earlier, the game simply titled XCOM,
right.
The first-person shooter.
Right.
How is it that your game has been both announced and is being released within the time frame of within the window of the first-person shooter, and we still haven't got that game? How long have you guys been on this?
It's because we're quick. We're lean and mean. Now, we both teams have known about each other forever. So, actually, our game has been in development for, at this point, 4.5 years, if you can believe that. So, it's been, you know, when you're making a new game, you know, obviously we're remaking a game that's 20 years old, but for us this is an entirely new game and, hopefully a new franchise. And when you do that, you need a lot of time to make a lot of mistakes, to mess up, to fail, and then find the right way forward. And so, you know, we needed every last day of the 4.5 years we've been given. And so we've been in development for a really long time. And during that time, you know, both teams have known about each other. We've been talking back and forth for years. And Jordan and the guys at Marin, like, you know, we've known about each other, and you're kind of in your bubble before either game gets announced.
True.
You know, you're just, you know, we talk back and forth, they say, oh, this is what we're doing, and we say, oh, this is what we're doing, oh, that's cool, we trade builds, and so then, for us, we've just sort of been on our own path, and then for them, you know, they're on their own path, and, you know, when things get released, you know, that's all up to the publisher, but for us, like both teams, we've known about each other forever, so I know it probably. I'm sure it looked strange from the outside, but internally, you know, we've both been in development for about the same amount of time.
Well, if you guys are trading builds back and forth, that's pretty interesting and actually very cool on a, you know, something that you can both do under the 2K umbrella. Have there been any neat little ideas that have come up that you've seen in their game in builds that you've somehow worked into yours?
Yes, there have, and in fact, that's something we want to leave to the players, but I promise that, and once they play, they'll see. Like, we've definitely tried to make links to each other's games because, you know, we're both fans of the original, and obviously it makes sense for us to try and make some cool narrative links between our two games. So, yeah, we've definitely done that.
Now, I just got one more question on this. I mean, I don't want to make this too much about the other XCOM game, but it is a unique situation, just given it's extremely rare that we see a franchise come back from the dead, or I guess in XCOM's case, from back from the deep.
Yeah.
In two forms. Yeah, see what I did there?
Yeah.
But it's real rare that we see a franchise return in two genres like this virtually simultaneously. So what I'm genuinely curious of is how do you avoid confusion with the first-person shooter? How do you avoid, keeping your game as the strategy game, and are people going to go to the store thinking this is going to be that they're buying the first-person shooter?
Well, that's fine for us, isn't it? It's only a problem for those guys. No, I mean, it's a fair question. I said it jokingly, but it is kind of true. I mean, obviously being the first one out the door makes it a little bit easier. But, it's a fair question. I mean, I think that what we're trying to do is, the benefit there is that, you know, the brand stuff is way over my head in terms of how they're managing brand and things like that. But we are making two pretty different experiences.
Sure.
We're both on all the different platforms, but obviously ours is more of a tactical game. Ours is modern day. Ours is probably hues a lot closer to the original in terms of narrative and the aliens and things like that. Theirs obviously set in the 60s, and they're telling a completely different story of XCOM. So I think that it's kind of nice, at least as a fan of XCOM, to have the whole franchise be dark for almost, 15, 20 years, and then all of a sudden you get all this great XCOM goodness, one on top of each other. But yeah, I mean, managing the brand is tricky. I mean, it's definitely something that, I think that's a challenge. And luckily, as I say, that I leave that to smarter people than me. My hope is that we make the best game we can, and hopefully people will respond.
Now, you mentioned that you've been working on this for about 4.5 years. That is an exceptionally long time.
Oh, yeah.
Now, and 2K, to their credit, they've always been a publisher that's not been afraid to delay their games and give their developers more time to make the best product possible. So I guess the natural follow-up question to this would be, in the 4.5 years, have there been substantial design changes? Or is there some point along the way? Because, most games these days are 2, maybe 3 years tops. I think it's fair to say on average, at least from what the consumer guys like us hear about. So, has this game, is the game that we're about to get in October drastically different than what you originally began working on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I say this as the guy who made most of those mistakes. I mean, and it's something that internally and just personally, I believe in failure and making mistakes as a part of the creative process. Now, obviously, it's easier for me to say that because I'm a designer, and that turns out to be sometimes a nightmare for my team. But over the course of time, I made some pretty big changes to the combat design, the strategy design, all elements of the game where, we started out trying to make something that was really close to the original game. But then, after we got pretty far with that, maybe about a year in, there were some comments where people who loved the original game were like, perfect, you've just made the original game. This is exactly what we wanted. But, we started thinking, is this actually the game? Is this really the game that we would set out to make if we weren't so in love with that original game? And so we took some time, and I went back and made a whole new prototype, which internally we call it Combat 2.0 because we're really original. And and that was a very, very different take on combat. And that is much closer to what people are going to see. And it's a big improvement, but it's sort of the way we work here. Is we're very iterative, and we're not afraid of failure. And certainly when you have a guy like me designing who, fails on a daily basis, it's a good thing because, we sort of just say, okay, if our ultimate goal is to make the best game, we don't mind at any point saying like, all right, well then we're gonna throw things out, we're gonna start over, we're gonna change things, and certainly that was a part of our process over the last couple of years. But part of that too was the fact that this game has environmental destruction and 3D fog of war and a lot of really technical things that still a lot of games don't do, and so those things required a lot of time to bake as well.
Are you afraid that you just pissed off a whole legion of dedicated original XCOM fans by admitting on the air that you had that your original version of the game played almost exactly like the original?
That was your plan, wasn't it, right?
I'm just trying to get a good interview. That's my plan.
You son of a No, I mean, it's true, but I think that it's what you try to do is you try to maintain the core pillars, and
yeah.
The thing is that you can get too tied up in the actual minutia and the design mechanics, and and I certainly understand that people remember the mechanics from the original game, and they know that those things have value because they led to those core experiences of the original game. But the idea is that, look, we kept the core experiences, we kept the tension, we kept the permadeath, we kept all the turn-based squad combat, but we did change the mechanics, and it made what we think is a better game. It's nice that the game is done, and we've all played it many times, and now we're very sort of excited to get into people's hands because it's easier to have these conversations now and say, like, yeah, we made big changes, but we know that we made the right choice. Now that we're on the other end of it, we know that we made the right choice. Now, if you had asked me, maybe a couple months after I made the change, maybe I was – those were some long, long, dark nights, but now it's nice to look back and say, yeah, that was the right choice.
I'm curious, has Sid Meier personally had much involvement in this one?
Yeah, I mean, Sid's, I worked for Sid for forever. I mean, I learned design under Sid, and I've worked on all of the Sid projects at the studio. So he's my you know, he's definitely my mentor, and you know, he's
you're Commander Riker, and he's Picard.
I am, and it's the dashing beard, actually. That's but yeah, I mean, I am the Riker to his Picard. I liked it. I'm gonna start using that. Yeah, I mean, I was his lieutenant for a long time, and so when I started on this project and throughout the project, I would go to him with very specific either design questions and say, look, this isn't working, you know, tell me what to do so I can take credit for it. And then, but, you know, he's, to his credit, I mean, he plays the game, he gives me feedback, and you know, even to the point where he and I started out, I made the strategy layer, and it wasn't working, and so I was going to him, and he and I started by making a board game, like an actual like paper board game with dice and with little characters, because you know we didn't want to do too much programming before we had the idea worked out. And so he and I, every afternoon for like 2 weeks, we worked on this sort of board game version of the game just to make sure that the fun was there, the mechanics were there, and that was actually, you know, that's like one of my fondest memories, because like as a kid, if you had told me that I was going to be making board games with Sid Meier someday.
Is that the pre-order bonus for the game? Free board game included?
I don't know. I don't know if people enjoy our terrible scribblings. And they're like these little action figures and these little dice. And but yeah, I mean, it was, he's had a really, really big hand in it design-wise, at least from me going to him and getting feedback from him, and him just sort of jumping in and helping me out design-wise where he can. So, yeah, he's a big part of it.
Are there any Easter eggs or nods to the original in there? I suspect the answer is yes.
Oh, yes. The answer is definitely yes. And I'm pretty excited to see what people find, because there are some pretty cool Easter eggs in there. But, yeah, definitely lots of tips of cap to the original. You know, that's certainly important to us and fans as well.
Just two more questions I've got for you, Jake, and then I'll let you get back to actually making games as opposed to talking about them with lame media guys.
Either way, it's fine with me.
Are you guys planning on, you know, because again, getting back to how I started this interview, which was, you know, about the thought that strategy games are a bit of a tough sell for console gamers.
Sure.
Are you guys doing a playable demo at all to try and, you know, get the game out there and give people a look at it?
I don't know that we've announced anything, but certainly, you know, I mean, we're excited for people to get their hands on it. So that's a big mum's the word, maybe. I don't know.
Fair enough. I think we can all infer from that response.
I'm just a designer. Why are you asking me?
Well, you know, you got at some point. You can design a demo too, right?
That's true.
Just cut that off, cut off the slice, and certify it, and get it out to the world. But I think we can read between the lines there. And the last question I've got for you, Jake, is you know, when you're dealing with something as revered as XCOM, do you force the entire team to play through the original before the project starts, or even as it's going? Is there, like, you know, you've been working on it 4.5 years, so is there an annual playthrough of the original that's required?
Yes, when people start on the team, you know, they do actually play the original, and it's important because, you know, you don't want to lose touch. I mean, we do, you know, if I'm speaking seriously, I mean, we do believe in the magic of that original game, and I certainly do. I mean, that game is actually the reason I make games. I mean, that game came out my senior year of high school, and I played hundreds of hours of it, and it's the reason I got a computer science degree. It's the reason I came to Firaxis, because I was interested in strategy games. It's certainly the reason I'm making this game now. And so I believe in that original game, and I, you know, the team, when they start, what they do is we say, look, you know, play the original game for a couple of days, and because they need to understand that, you know, we can't just throw ideas at the wall. We have to be rooted in the magic of that original game. And so even when we first started on the game, the whole initial team, the whole team played that game for a couple of weeks, and I would help them and walk them through it. And it was actually really encouraging to see even guys who, of course, had never heard of the original game, you know, they're completely console gamers, they got into that original game, and it was nice to see that those ideas still had power 20 years later, even viewed with, you know, you're talking like 320 by 240 resolution.
Oh, yeah.
Just a completely different game, but people were still drawn in by it. So, yeah, I mean, it's certainly something that we require people to do.
All right. Well, Jake Solomon, you are the lead designer on XCOM Enemy Unknown, not the first-person shooter, the turn-based strategy game. It is out October 9th of this year. You're up against some stiff competition this holiday.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's again, and it seems like, you know, a couple of years ago, it used to be like on-off years, you know, but
yeah.
Nowadays, now, you know, every year, every fall, I completely run out of my gaming money, like within, you know, you start in August, and then, like, you're way overspending by October, November. So, yeah, it's a really strong season once again.
Well, you have the advantage of not being a first-person shooter out during the holidays. You have a very different game. It is a turn-based strategy game. It's, you know, if you're a fan of the original, odds are you've probably already pre-ordered Enemy
right.
Unknown. And if you're not, it's a thrilling, sort of riveting. You know, you will become attached to your characters because they matter, and if they die, they're out of the game. And hopefully we've got a playable demo coming soon that we can all try it out before it ships. And that's it. I guess you've got a game to finish, and then I trust you're taking a tropical vacation somewhere far away from the internet or any computer.
I am. You know, it's actually sort of been winding down, so now I'm reintroducing myself to my family and making sure there aren't any strange men hanging around my house. And yeah, I'm going to take a little time off, but yeah, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for people to get their hands on the game.
Well, Jake, thank you very much, and we will all look forward to XCOM Enemy Unknown on October 9th. And in the meantime, you can actually head over to IGN.com right now. We just had one of our editors come visit you out at Firaxis, and we've got some hands-on impressions of the game posted up at IGN.com. So, Jake, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Unlock Lock. Can you take on the challenge?
Welcome back, viewers. Yeah.
I'm not going to show that.
That's
getting
that for
cut.
Nothing. It's time for the Unlock Block, our final feature segment of the week.
Oh, you sound so excited about it. It's time for the Unlock Block.
You know, I'm tired. I am wondering.
Spice it up, Ryan.
I'm wondering if either of you guys are going to get this, though. This is a great
sword
question.
Sword up, McCaffrey.
Wesley Robinette, or Robinette. I'm not sure quite the pronunciation
Robinette.
There. Maybe. You know, whatever. Wesley, definitely got that right. He is this week's winner for submitting a question that I liked enough to pick and try and stump you guys with. He'll get a copy of Guitar Hero Van Halen and or a download code for Ghost Recon Future Soldier Arctic Strike, the DLC, recently released DLC for Future Soldier. So, guys, it's original Xbox trivia time.
Let's do it.
I hope you have been paying attention for the last 7-8 years.
I think I know
God,
this one.
God, this generation's long. All right.
Already?
Here we
yeah.
go. What right. was the last game, the very last game released on the original Xbox in North America? Was it Tony Hawk Project 8, Madden NFL 2009, Ratatouille, or Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Double Agent?
Mitch, you want to go first?
I knew this as well, for the
Damn.
Record.
All right. Like, I feel like Ratatouille's got a... I was thinking Ratatouille because it's like it's such a weird entry in here. But... goodness. I'm going to go with Tony Hawk.
Madden 2009. Destiny's answer
B. I thought about that, but I figured even though EA does do, like, they, I think they still release stuff on PS2. Like, this year, I think they put
it's
out FIFA.
It's been a while, but I kind of remember a big hubbub about Madden
right.
being on Xbox and Xbox 360.
And you sound confident.
And I remember yeah. vividly that Casey reviewed both versions for OXM that year.
Casey well,
Lynch
look at you.
Now,
I don't remember that.
I remember a lot of weird shit about OXM reviews.
Interesting. I'm curious. Am I totally wrong?
More than I do.
Was it Ratatouille?
And one of you is exactly correct, and it was our very confident
yeah.
Destin
ah, yes.
Legarry. Yes,
yeah.
It was Madden. For Mitch, for the exact reason you mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they
kept it going.
They just keep it going because it at that point it costs them very little to do because they
yeah.
just they base it off of the iteration they already have, and it's basically just a roster update those, you know, couple years
aren't
after.
They always?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not always.
Not anymore.
But
particularly after the next console generation is already launched.
I'm really happy I got that, especially seeing I don't care about sports games
that bravo,
much.
Bravo, Destin.
Yeah. Yes, thanks.
Mitch, you suck.
Yeah, I'm the worst.
If you would like a chance to win a free game.
I get a copy of Guitar Hero Van Halen?
You do, actually.
Yeah.
I've got plenty.
That's
you can have
one.
That's
my third
one. Send your Xbox-related trivia question. Include 4 multiple-choice answers. Note the correct one. Please include your full name and your mailing address, please. Send it all to unlocked@ign.com.
Seriously, though, Wesley won, right?
Oh, he's a winner.
Yeah, he gets the video game Guitar Hero Van Halen. Yeah. Not me. I was just joking.
Only if he doesn't want it. Only if he specifically says, no, I'm not
no,
even...
No, I'm good.
Yeah, thanks. I'm not even giving you my address because I don't want it. So, he'll... So, you
I
have
wonder
to
if GameStop takes trade-ins for that game still.
If they're a penny each, we can make $10.
Right? Exactly.
Wouldn't that be
poor
hilarious,
Activision.
Though? Maybe we should grab the film crew and just have them follow us to a GameStop and just to see the
Please
reaction.
Please take these.
Yeah.
I'd like to trade these in.
That'd be the best.
And just to see the look on their faces would be hilarious.
These are stolen.
All right.
I'm a slouch again.
So, well, we're done. So
yeah, I'm relaxing
you can,
now.
Yeah, you can chill all you want. I want to thank Destin Legarry, Mitch Dyer, as always, for joining us. Next week, I don't even know what we're going to do next week. I don't have anything lined up, so we'll just wing it.
Yeah, I leave for PAX.
Sounds good to me.
I leave for PAX next week, too.
What?
Next week, I think I leave for PAX.
I do. I leave Friday.
Already?
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, I guess we better record ourselves a show before that.
We have
I
a
leave
very,
Thursday, so we can do Wednesday.
We actually have a very exciting guest coming in. So
next week?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even
Here?
Know this.
To IGN, yeah.
Well, I know there's one that I just booked for 2 weeks from now.
That's going to be good.
That's I'll probably better than your guess. I'll bet my guess is better than your guess.
I don't think so. We'll
you
see.
Don't think so?
We'll see.
Destin, why don't you write down your guest's name on there, and I'll be the judge. I will keep these names anonymous and judge who's better. Oh, both are very good.
Really?
That's fine. But ours is bigger name.
That's true.
Okay.
Bigger
right.
name.
That's right. true.
Not necessarily.
Well, don't
better.
Even listen to this week's podcast. We might have 2 big celebrities in next week.
Your guest is mostly irrelevant to our audience, sadly.
Yeah, well, I know. That's why I was like, I'm excited about this guest, but it's not really Xbox relevant, I guess. Until they make the console version.
Bum, bum, bum.
Inevitably. All right, so keep it locked to IGN.com, bookmark it, make it your homepage, and specifically the Xbox 360 channel that Mitch and I make our living on. This week, Mitch, we got some killer stuff, like clips from the Halo 4 soundtrack.
God,
yeah!
That's so good. That post is so good. It's 8 tracks from the Halo 4
samples.
Soundtrack.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. 4 from the original soundtrack, that of course is the game, and then 4 from the remix album.
All of them are amazing.
That the remix tracks are not in the game, they're just, but they're... They're like popular artists' remixes of the OST.
Yeah,
it's good times. It's the number one story on IGN right now as we record this for a reason.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's blown up.
So no, but really, you know, if you're obviously Marty O'Donnell's work on Halo is one of the signature elements. You know,
totally,
those chanting monks, man. So everybody wondered, well, what you know, with Bungie gone, what's the soundtrack for Halo 4 going to be like?
Mm-hmm. It's
well,
different.
It's very different, but very cool. So we've got your chance to listen to it up on IGN right now. Mitch did not review, but what are you doing? You'll have the
Counter-Strike review.
What are you doing,
week?
Mitch?
So this what are you working?
I'm aiming for Friday. Friday for the Counter-Strike review. It might be Monday. We'll see. So Friday, hopefully Counter-Strike, as well as I did an interview with Anthony Birch, who is the writer for Borderlands.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He used to work at Destructoid.
Yep,
he's
exactly,
a funny dude.
Yeah.
And he has a series, Hey Ash, What You Playing on,
Ash,
another website.
Hey Ash is so funny.
On a censored website.
What website would that be, Dustin? Former
I don't remember.
He has another show on All right.
He's a good dude.
HeyAsh.com.
There
you go. Yeah.
We got some tweets this week, Mitch.
Yep.
Some of our listeners are checking out our Xbox Live app, the IGN app. One of them was a guy who's
some
laid up
at
from
Destin. You're ugly. Tweet from. Thanks. Why do we read these? Ryan?
Will this videoified podcast be up on the app? Is that possible?
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, I can put this on the Xbox. Jeez, why didn't I do that last week?
Destin, come on.
Yeah.
Well,
I kind of want to perfect the video form before we start.
I'm down with that. Yeah, right. let's hone it. Make
got
it
tripods
sing.
Next week. Maybe some better lights.
Yeah.
More kisses.
Editing all that out.
next week I'm just going to do it nonstop, so you can't cut to us.
Me searing out my eyeballs with a hot poker. Yeah, follow us on Twitter at IGN is your main stop to get everything, all the big stuff piped right to your Twitter account, to your tweets. At Mitchy D.
Correct.
At Destin Legare, all one word.
Legare.
What is it?
Legare.
Legare.
Legare. Okay.
Like Gary.
Yeah.
Like your name's except with a with a French twist.
Yeah, you could not be more French.
Legare.
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 There you go.
Oui, oui, Legare. He is
it's just French for Destin the Gary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Destin Legare. Yes?
Yep.
Okay.
Not we're spelled like Gary.
I got it. At least you got the first name right. You know, normally I
Dustin Legare.
Justin Legare.
Justin
like,
legs.
Come on.
Legs, arms.
Like, are you even reading?
I get it too. I'll get like at the
Ryan.
Checking McAfee. Out at a retail place. So, yeah, people will start to be like,
Ryan.
You know how at some grocery stores now, they try to be polite when they hand you their receipt. It says like it has your puts mm-hmm. your name on it. So they're like, oh, thank you, mister. And then they have to read it. Well, it's like that's the worst idea ever. Yep. Grocery stores should stop doing that because these poor clerks can't seem to handle it. It'll just be mine always hangs them up. It's okay. Here's your receipt. Thank you, mister. And you can just like see the will
mister,
to live.
Oh my God.
Drain
no, I
like,
can't do this.
What have I done?
I can't read your name.
I'd like to buy a vowel, Pat.
I fail.
And then they're just like, they're obligated to have to try. So like, mister.
That's what I would do if I didn't know how to, mister, I can't do this.
Mister, sir.
That was like, Mr. McCarver. Just give me the damn receipt. I'm out of here. All right. Thank you, gentlemen, and we will see you again next week. And thanks to Jake Solomon for calling in with us via Skype. I had a good time talking to him. XCOM Enemy Unknown out this October. Don't overlook it among all the big holiday releases. It actually is pretty badass. So there. Bye.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.